beautiful Friday morning, March 2nd. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 14th day, Friday, March 2nd, 2018. Allen. Barlow. Biteman. Blackburn. Blake. Bovey. Brown. Burkhart, excused. Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly. Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards. Eklund. Ayer. Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Grew. Gray. Greer. Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd, excused. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Laux. McGuire. Madden. Miller. Nicholas, excused. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Piperinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz, excused. Simpson. Summers. Summers, excused. Steinmetz, excused. Stith. Sweeney. Walters, excused. Wilson, excused. Winters. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker, we have 52 present, 8 excused.
Now, are 8 excused? I think 7 of those are appropriators who are still working off the floor. So they're certainly here, and they're here working. Okay, members, we're joined again today. It's been a real pleasure, Reverend Rainwater, to really appreciate your service to the legislature this week. So she's going to lead us in our final prayer this week from Grace United Methodist Church.
And if I had been prepared, I would have written it in Dr. Seussian language. But as it is, let us pray. Great healer and worker of justice, we ask for your presence to move us this day. Move us to ensure that all are provided the same opportunities to succeed. Move us in such a way that we can be a part of your healing work in our midst. Move us to always consider the ways of justice when confronted with difficult challenges and decisions to make. We also pray for your peace that passes all understanding. May your healing presence living about the end of the may your living presence bring about the end of dissension and arguments that aren't productive or don't move us forward. Bring us together to seek that which is necessary for all to find hope and success. We always pray for your peace and healing in our communities, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. May your light shine in the dark places in our world and in our lives. Amen.
accept that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 1st, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
Okay, thank you. Is our doctor of the day here? Oh, and this is Kimberly Broomfield. Right? Kimberly, welcome, Dr. Broomfield. And Dr. Broomfield, where are you from? Here in Cheyenne? Okay, wonderful. Appreciate you being here today. Is our nurse here today? I don't see our nurse. She's probably working the other end of the chamber. Okay, we're going to move to privileges of the floor. Representative Guru.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Out in the VIP lounge, I would direct your attention out there. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Marcus Olson. He's a freshman at Jackson Hole High School. He is working on his Eagle Scout badge. He's working. He's a member of the Jackson Hole High School golf team. Go Bronx. He's also a member of the Special Olympics, and he skis. And today he's in town for something very, very special. He's setting up today, and the first person in the state of Wyoming to sign up for a YABLE account, where kids that are developmentally disabled or have special needs can set up an account of their own to save money outside of the money they get from the federal government, from other programs, and to be able to set aside money for himself so later in life he can live an independent life. And he's the first one in the state to do it. I want you to introduce him. His folks are here, too. Jeff and Anna Olson, Marcus Olson, right there in the back.
Great. Marcus, welcome to the House. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
I've got today my best buddy ever. His name is Karsten, and he's standing up. He's supposed to be standing up with his mother, and he's a kindergartner in Sheridan school system. He gets straight A's and everything except deportment. He brought his mother with him. Her name is Jessica, and she's my daughter also, and I'd like to have you make him welcome. Yeah.
Welcome to the House. Great to have you here today. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not very often we get constituents from right here in Cheyenne to come visit us, and this may be a first because the high school students you see out here did not take any school transportation. They walked down here from East High School this morning. So this is Mr. Hemingway's 11th grade civics class from right here, home of the Thunderbirds, up the street. Please make them feel welcome.
Welcome to the House. Juniors in high school, beautiful time. This really is exciting, too, kids. So we appreciate you being here. Anyone else, privilege of the floor? Before we go, Representative Brown will be our last privilege of the floor this morning before we get going.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, in your inbox is a reminder for us to mark today as Read Across America Day. The annual Motivation and Awareness Program calls for every child in every community to celebrate reading on March 2nd of every year. We celebrate this day due to its significance, and that's its esteemed Dr. Seuss's birthday, who reminds us, you're never too old, too wacky, too wild to pick up a book and read with a child. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And if we can, everybody, if we can get all the hats to throw up, we're going to get a nice picture from the front here, and we're going to all look really awesome.
Right in front and center. Come on, you gotta have one on for just a second.
Good
job. Good job. Yeah, just tilt it on there, Jamie. I know. Do you want up here? High up, Brianna. Do you want up high? Come on, Gary.
I'd like putting on a pair of socks that were too small. Okay, members, thank you for indulging in that. That was fun. Okay, we're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. These are our final Senate files. I think there's only one or two out there, but we're going to try to clear the deck of most of these. Okay, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, introduced by Senator Anselmi Dalton.
First reading of the bill.
Tobacco Use Non-Discrimination Repeal.
Senate File 94 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
Workers' Compensation Rate Discount.
Senate File 52 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 98.
Senate File 98, introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
Severance Tax Exemption.
Senate File 98 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 3.
Senate Joint Resolution 3, introduced by Senator Scott.
First reading of the resolution.
School Capital Construction Constitutional Amendment.
Senate Joint Resolution 3 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 72.
Senate File 72, introduced by School Finance.
First reading of the bill.
School Finance, Recalibration, Transportation.
Senate File 72 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 87.
Senate File 87, introduced by Senator Kinski.
First reading of the bill.
Hathaway Scholarship Eligibility.
Senate File 87 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 93.
Senate File 93, introduced by Senator Anselmi Dalton.
First reading of the bill.
Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention.
Senate File 93 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 4.
Senate Joint Resolution 4, introduced by Senator Ellis.
First reading of the resolution.
Public School Financing.
Senate Joint Resolution 4 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61, introduced by Senator Ellis.
First reading of the bill.
Hunting Colors, Fluorescent Pink.
Senate File 61 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Hicks.
First reading of the bill.
Lawful Fence Standards, Preemption.
Senate File 107 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
Opioid Addiction Task Force.
Senate File 78 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 91.
Senate File 91, introduced by Senator Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
Government Contracts, Labor Organization.
Senate File 91 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. We are at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 58, Engrossed, Game and Fish Licenses, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 2, Engrossed, 150th Anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Clem, Flitner, Freeman, Garou, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 34, Military Spouse Unemployment and Sunset Repeal, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, and Eklund. Noes, Representatives Lauck, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 35, Engrossed, Military Service Relief Act, Additional Protections, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Eklund. Noes, Representatives Edwards, Lauck, and Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 60, Wyoming Women's Suffrage Pathway Highway Designation, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Lauck, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 84, Engrossed, Motor Vehicle Registration, Deployed Military Members, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Brown, Court, Edwards, Eklund, Piperinen. Noes, Representatives Blackburn, Crank, and Lauck. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 15, Engrossed, Large Project Account Modifications, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 17, engrossed. Cease and transfer priority list. Respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 111, Property Taxation, Digital Currencies. Respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, amended. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Claussen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman.
Okay, we're at that order of business of bills on second reading. First bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, sponsored by Management Council. Legislative Budget, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
Senate File 2 has an amendment. Representative Larson Dan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 2, and I'm kind of excited to bring it. I think it's something that's needs to be done. When we move back into the Capitol in a couple years, I hope, this will be needed. What it does is the extra dollars appropriated in this amendment will use the same consultants currently helping with the web page and legislative management system. Our in-house LSO IT group will work to develop the software interface necessary to upgrade the voting system used by the chief clerks to display bill information and roll call votes on video monitors in the House and Senate chambers within the state Capitol building, and if authorized by the body, to allow members to vote from their desks. Funded already in the Capitol restoration are the monitors in both chambers. There'll be two of them. They don't have the connection from the computers yet for what will be up there. I would guess when they get those connected, we'll see what current bill we're on, what amendments we're on, and maybe the votes. But I ask for your consideration and vote aye.
Any other members for the first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So would this allow us to vote electronically from our desks? I mean, I'm a little unclear on this.
Okay, any other members for their first time? Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in support of this. I hear throughout my district they want to know how I'm voting. And I think this is a good idea, and I think it's time it's come. I would ask the bringer of the amendment how many states are doing this. I think it's throughout the country, and it really, this more than anything else is transparency at its core. So,
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to stand in strong favor of this amendment, and I want to clarify a question that was just asked from the good representative from the center of the state in the not-so-largest city in the state. On this amendment on line 11, leading over to line 12, it says that if authorized by the bodies to allow members to vote from their desks. So the amendment is going to allow for the individual bodies, that being the one down the hall and this one here, to make an internal decision on whether to actually cast the vote. The actual amendment, what it's doing is putting your votes up on that electronic board. Step number two is this body would have to make that decision to move forward with the actual vote. So on and in favor of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just some background. So I think it was 2007 was the last time this body kind of commissioned a study, and we had the real talk on electronic voting, what that would look like, what other states were doing. We decided, I think it was the 08-09 session, one of those two, that we weren't going to proceed at this time. But what we have done is we were talking about the renovation of the Capitol is that we would put all of the systems in place, at least wiring-wise and capability-wise, for some time in the next, 50 or 100 years, if this body or management council were to take on some form of electronic voting or screens, et cetera, that would be in place in the building, the infrastructure. What this amendment's asking for is for the software, not the hardware. I think it's somewhat a little bit ambiguous just because we don't know exactly what it's going to take and what it's going to look like, but this at least authorizes the money and the study to just have the software available at some time in the future if we decide to do this. So I think it's a good amendment. It's a good approach to look at what the possibilities are and to when we move into the new building. We're going to have a lot of talks about how the process is going to work and what the structure is going to look like, and this is another thing that we need to probably talk about now in 2018 before we start down any certain path in 2019 in the new building.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of the amendment and also in support of just the concept in general. When I travel around the country, I've come to where I've made it somewhat of a hobby to visit other state capitals, and I wouldn't know how many state capitals have this in place, but almost all the ones that I have visited do, and have just in visiting with folks in those buildings, they've explained the process to me and how it works, and it's slick. It goes quickly. It's practically fail-proof, and I think that this is something we strongly need to look at. Thank you.
Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a pleasant surprise. I'm on and for this amendment, and I applaud the bringers of the amendment. I've been thinking about this since I've been here, why we don't have this, and what a great opportunity this is while we're building the new renovating the new Capitol. This is the perfect time to be implementing this system and bring in the transparency and bring in our legislature up to the times. And this is great for the people of Wyoming and also for us. I mean, how many times do we hear the groans amongst the body when somebody calls for the eyes and nose? This will speed that process up tremendously. And it's just a great idea, and I am fully supporting this. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on and against the amendment. First of all, this is a long and serious discussion to talk about what the traditions that we have in the legislature and counting votes and having folks stand up and just be a part of this thing. And if all of a sudden we're just tapping on a keyboard, it's going to entirely change the whole atmosphere of the body, and it's a really important thing to discuss. And I think we need to go into the mechanisms and the pros and cons of it, and maybe even experiment with it to see what's going to happen. But this shouldn't just show up in a budget bill to develop the software. This is a fundamental change in how the legislative body does business after the last 115 years. In order to do this, we don't have to appropriate $125,000 to do it. Number one, we can just tell them to do it. Every desk will be wired when we get back into the Capitol to effectuate this, and to have certain technologies where you can instantaneously see the votes as they're occurring, the oral vote, as opposed to hitting a finger vote. I would submit that we move into this very slowly. And with deliberation to know what it's like, because it will It will fundamentally change how we articulate and talk with each other, and how things move down the line. And I just suggest just take a step back and think about what this process is and how it works and how we as comrades work together to move bills down the road and discussions that we have. It really is a significant change, and it's unnecessary. It certainly shouldn't be a budget amendment. It should be something that's discussed and debated in detail. So on and against.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Members, we've really got to look at the amendment here. The good chair of appropriations brought up some great points that we as a body should sit down and take a look at all of the pros and cons on this. Thankfully, that deliberation is built right into the amendment. You can see on down onto line 11 of the amendment, authorized by the bodies. That means we're going to have to debate this. We're going to have to talk about it. And it's going to be the conversations that all of the worries that the good chair of appropriations just brought up. That's what we're going to be looking at. And that's what we're going to be talking about. When we're talking about changing the body as a whole by doing something like this, I would argue that the body has changed from 1890, that it is 2018. And if this provides a level of clarity and transparency throughout the Capitol building, just by mirroring what our own chief clerk already looks at every time she's calling the roll, that's a pretty simple, easy deal to do. I don't really actually expect us to use all 100-some-odd thousand. This is a pretty easy deal to mirror and monitor that is already seeing those roll call votes. I don't think it changes really anything besides putting us in line with what year it is right now. So vote aye on the amendment. Let's have that deliberation as the amendment says.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, I agree that this is a weighty issue that requires a lot of time. And frankly, 25 years ago when I was a reporter covering this body, this was a topic of discussion. I think we've moved slowly enough. It's time to move into the 21st century. And it's an opportunity for us to have full transparency in this body. And just as a reminder, I'm going to call for the yeas and nays on this one.
Is there a second? Okay. Representative Freeman. And for the record, who was the second? Okay. Grow. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On against the amendment, and I think the first reason is you don't need to spend this money because we've already got this in a capital construction budget. And I think, and I just want to reiterate what was said because I'm not sure we all heard it. Every desk will be wired. This will all be pre-wired. The hardware is going to be there. We're planning for the future that if some legislature in the future wants to change our rules, we'll be able to quickly do that. But what's happening here is this is morphing into a debate about the issue, and then some say, well, it's not about the issue. And I think years ago I actually brought a similar amendment. And I thought, geez, why don't we just push a button? And then you learn more about it. First of all, it's slower. Because you don't just say, okay, vote now. You always give 5 minutes or 10 minutes or Congress leaves 30 minutes or hours open to push the button. Second thing is, then you run back on the floor and you're watching the greens and reds. Push the button. And I'll just tell you, it's not about accountability or transparency. It's not about recording every vote. That's a rule change. You can do that right now. But I tell you, you folks who have not served in the Capitol, and when you sit in the House chamber and you hear the A's called, and you sit back in your chair, and some of these are easy votes, but some of them are really weighty votes, and you look up and you see that sun coming through the stained glass of our state seal, A's, B's, C's, D's, And there's a power in this body, I think, and a real intangible thing until you felt it and been a part of it, and some really important votes. And then finally, Mr. Speaker. And then, are there any changes? And so it's not pushing a button. That's what we complain about now. We all look at our phone and nobody's engaged. You got to sit in your seat and go, aye. You got to say no. Or you got to stand up if you got to change. Instead of sitting there and going, and then run back out and do something else and wait for the next 5 minutes on the next vote. We have something really special. A citizen legislature that comes down here and we do our level best. But to sit here and put this now to a push button, and my little screen's going to turn blue or red. And again, I think I brought this amendment years ago when I was a younger legislator. And as I've lived the process and really have come to really, really admire and honor the process, it's really great we have this debate, and I hope I convince you to vote no. And then I hope 10 years from now when some of you are here, and this same amendment will come up, and it should. We talk about the same issues over and over, that you will remember some of these points, and you will have lived through some of those days in the House. And as you listen to the A's and B's and C's and D's down to the Z's, and then Mr. Speaker, and then you have to stand or sit, that you'll remember this, because this is more than pushing a button. This isn't about accountability. This isn't about transparency. All that's out there, and our rules can be changed, and we can record every vote if you want. We recorded plenty this year. But boy, there's a really important, powerful part of saying aye or no, and you don't get it with that. So I urge your defeated amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to be repetitive, but I think the ayes and the noes and standing up has a very positive influence on this legislature. And how many times have you, in frustration, said a strong aye or a strong no, and then all of a sudden somebody shows up at your desk and says, why are you so passionate about this? And it starts the conversation to where that you come up with a third amendment reading to where that it actually makes things better, and the conversation was started basically with the standing up or the shouting of your opinion. And if the money's already in the capital construction, I don't see any reason why to put it on the goldenrod.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So if we do this the way I see it, we're going to increase the cost of the capital by $125,000, which isn't much in the scheme of things, but we put a cap on that, and if this is built into it already, then I think we need to stick with that. Kind of on the idea, I think we're very transparent. I like the way the system is, and I know I'm an old fuddy-duddy, but I just keep envisioning that someday our legislature will operate off of a phone app or something, and we won't even have to meet. And that isn't the way. As we move further and further that way, I think you need to have a good discussion on it. But I'm not in favor of tacking $125,000 more into that project.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I rise against this amendment, and I don't want to take a lot of time on it, but I got to agree with the Speaker and the good chair of appropriations. I mean, there's something special here in this body, and I'm a pretty emotional cat, and you guys all know that, but it's that emotion together with us that we bond together, and nothing frustrates me more than watching our young people walk around, their heads are down all the time, and they're doing this. And how we bond together and how we work together across the aisle, I mean, that all happens because we engage with each other, and it's a beautiful thing here. And I really don't want to see that tradition change and have us as Mr. Speaker said, you know, push a button and go do something else 5 minutes because you really don't need to be there and sit there anymore. It's really important to the body, and this is a special legislature system that we have with the volunteers and a citizen body. It's last night at a reception talking to people from Boston and Los Angeles, and they all were just amazed at how our legislature works. They'd never seen anything like it, and how we spend time together after we're out of session and how we work together. And so I just please vote no on this.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative or Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So I guess I have a very different idea about what this amendment does than some other people who spoke against it. And I would caution you against presupposition of this is voting from our desks and this is, you know, voting from our cell phones or any number of things like that. This is really even not really about us in the chamber and how we vote. This is about all the other people out there in the VIP lounge, right? This year we put TVs up. This is about everybody who listens to us on the Internet. Imagine if we could live stream or there could be a video along with the audio on the Internet that we cast out. I mean, this is really about promoting transparency. I don't think that this budget amendment is the end-all be-all that we're voting from our desks and changing 120 years of legislative process in this body. That certainly is not why I signed on to it and what I think it does whatsoever. What I think this does is allows the software upgrades in place, and let me say this is the right place to put it. This is a legislative bill. It doesn't go into the capital renovation account. It doesn't go against the $300 million. This goes into the legislative budget. So I think this is exactly the right place to put the amendment into our funding bill. But it really is about everybody else being able to take part in the legislative process in this state. You don't have to be a legislator. You can be a constituent. You can be at home. You can record these things, possibly, if you want to watch it later. I mean, the video screens out there were the first step. But let me tell you, in legislative tech and process, these things keep coming. I've been on the committee 10 years. I know the good representative said he was talking about this in the 90s. The public cry for transparency and being able to be more technologically adept at watching and participating in this process. I mean, I'll tell you now, in the old days, we were sequestered for three readings, right? That's the process. But now I have people all day on the Book of Faces, on my cell phone, are like, oh, this guy just said this. I need you to say this. I mean, we're in a different environment than we were 100 years ago. And so I don't think this asks for, you know, a different kind of voting or doing away with the roll call. What this asks for is for us to better promote, in technological means, our process to the rest of the state so all people in our government and all citizens of this great can participate in the same fun that we have down here every day.
Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I just want to say I really think we need to be more transparent. I've really enjoyed being a legislator. I think it's been a wonderful blessing. My number one frustration in the year in a couple months here has been the pressure when roll call votes are called. And I find that very troubling. I remember that actually resigned earlier last year, and he used to always defend me when we had that effort at transparency, and it's been my number one. It's very troubling. And I think we need to have transparency. We need to move in this direction. And thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Larson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Let's see if we can bring it home, I guess. This is not about how we're going to vote. That'll be decided later amongst us all and between the two houses. This is just to get the interface up on the monitors when we get to the Capitol. I was told by the group down the hall that does the web page for us and works with the chief clerk that they don't have the dollars there yet, unless maybe they're told by the group that tells them what to do to change where they're spending their dollars. They don't have the dollars there.
let's get ready for when we get back to the Capitol to get the monitors up there so we can see which bill we're looking at, which amendment we're looking at, and we can see what the votes are up there and decide how we're going to vote. That'll be another decision that we'll all make. Vote aye.
Hey, members, we are voting on third reading amendment number one. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Oh, we have a roll call vote. Hey, let's settle and call the roll. Chief Clerk, so excited. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
For amendment number one on House or on Senate File 2, Allen.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bovee.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Obermueller.
No.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz excused.
Stiff.
No. Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote, are there any changes? Larson Lloyd, aye to no. Crank, aye to no. Further changes, Halverson, no to aye. Further changes, closing vote. The vote is closed, 28 aye, 31 no, 1 excused.
Having failed a roll call vote, second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 2 has failed. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Antelope Hunt Licenses, an act relating to game and fish.
We have an amendment. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1. The Senate File 3 and would ask for your favorable consideration. So, members, this has to do with the antelope hunts, the set-aside licenses. And I just want to make it known out there, I really want to support this bill. I want to be able to vote in favor of it. However, I find myself struggling with the current language because I find that, and this is something that we've talked about all through the interim, that this really constitutes special law and not general law. You know, our Constitution says that we are prohibited to give any corporation, association, or individual any special or exclusive privilege. And it also goes on to say, when general law can be made applicable, no special law can be enacted. You say, well, what do you mean special law versus general law? Well, if you look in your bill basically says that we're going to have set-aside licenses and we're going to give them to two groups. Now, we don't name the groups in the bills, but you and I have gotten a lot of emails. You can tell me right off the top of your head. You don't need any other knowledge to tell me who these groups are going or who these two groups are. So in effect, what we're doing is we're saying we're going to give these set-aside licenses to two groups to the exclusion of everybody else. And what this amendment does is this calls on the Game and Fish Commission to say, you know what, if you have three groups that come to you and want these set-aside licenses, that you should promulgate rules and regulations to decide how these licenses are allocated. So in other words, right now we just have these two groups. We've got the one-shot hunt, it's mentioned there further in the bill, and then we've got this other group, this women's group that wants these set-aside licenses. Fine. I have no contention with that. The problem is, and this is what we heard in testimony, is if a third group comes and says, you know what, we want some of these antelope licenses, there is no existing process, nor is there any statutory authority to give them the authority to draft rules and regulations to be able to do this. And I've looked through this. In fact, it's interesting because I was talking to my fellow TRW representatives, I've got them looking through the statutes, and I said, can you find anywhere in the statutes where it gives the Game and Fish Commission the authority to establish a program to disseminate these set-aside licenses for these groups? And you can look in 23, Title 23, Article 3, which talks about the general duties of the Game and Fish Commission, and you can't find anything in there. I've got the good chairman over here. He was looking through some things. You can't find it in there. You get to 23, Article 7, which is where these antelope licenses, set-aside licenses are, and you won't find anything in Article 7, which deals with licenses, that gives the Game and Fish the authority to promulgate rules and regulations to disseminate these licenses. And that's the problem. What we're saying by this bill, just as the existing language, is we're going to have set-aside licenses for two groups, and in all practicality, we know who those two groups are, and no one else can come to the table. Is that not special law? General law says you establish a program, you set aside these licenses, and based upon the rules and regulations of the commission, anyone can come, and the commission then, based off of their rules and regulations, decides who gets those licenses. That's general law. And that's all we're trying to do with this amendment. And you see that right there. So I'm using existing statutory language in Article 7 of Title 23. And you'll notice I just want to read it out loud so the people in the VIP section, I like that new title, the VIP section can hear what's going on. And it says this. This is subsection F of Article 7, existing language. And it says, this is new language now. Rules and regulations shall be promulgated by the Game and Fish Commission to carry out subsections B and C of this section. Well, what are subsections B and C? Well, subsection B is the one that we're dealing with, the set-aside antelope licenses. Subsection C deals with the 25 set-aside licenses for the buckshot hunt, the gunpowder hunt. And it just says that they're going to draft rules and regulations in order to carry out the provisions of this act. It goes on and it says, now existing language, applicants for licenses specified in subsections B and C shall apply in person to any authorized department personnel. So that's, they already have to do that already. And then it goes on in the last part here. It says, nothing in this subsection shall authorize the issuance of a license to any person whose privilege to procure, purchase, or possess a license has been suspended pursuant to this act or by operation of law. In other words, if we have these set-aside licenses, we don't want someone who doesn't have any, who doesn't have the right to get those licenses because of a violation of the law. We don't want them to have these set aside licenses, and that's all that last part is saying. The rest of it just goes into when this whole act is effective. So the whole act, based on the changes here, is effective July 1st. But it does give them the authority right now to start drafting those rules and regulations, so that's immediate, so that they can draft these rules and regulations so that by July 1st, this next hunting season, all this will be in effect. Again, I'm not trying to derail anything. I am just trying to make this general law instead of special law. And that's the whole issue here. So I would hope that you would support this amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the bringer of the bill, a couple of questions. The first is, this specifies, It relates to a couple of different categories of set-asides, but having looked through 23.1705, and I don't have the letters and little I's and whatnot here with me, but so the chief executive also has authority to set aside 25 hunting and 25 fishing. Then there's the two categories addressed by the amendment. Then each commissioner, of which there are seven, has the ability to give out 8 elk, deer, or antelope licenses. Then there's another category where we can give out 56 to nonprofits. And then there's 50 to nonprofits, especially for handicapped people. And then there's a last category of any number given out to people who are under the ages of 20 with life-threatening diseases. And so I'm wondering, are you intending for these restrictions to apply to all of those categories of set-asides, or just these two categories of set-asides? And then my second question is just on the amendment, line 13, where it says that they shall apply in person. So recently, the last few years, you're able to buy your licenses online, and that's what how I get all my licenses is I go online. So I'm wondering if does that by in person, if I wanted to do one of these other ones, do I now actually need to go to the building, or is it just that I personally have to apply online, which is so if that could just be cleared up for me.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I remind the body that our budget bill is law. And I think if you look in the budget bill, you'll see a number of places over the time that I've been in the legislature where we identify appropriations and specify needs for specific groups, although they're not lined out. I think last year we talked about improving some roads up, although it wasn't spelled out, it was for some coal country roads up in the northeast part of the state. I think you'll see in the budget bill this year, although it's not specified where it's at, it's to do another road improvement to allow for some mining down in another part of the state. When I first came here, we appropriated annually for a number of years a large water project that impacted some specific groups of people. And so to say that we haven't done or don't do this in general law, in my opinion, is I don't think is accurate. And that's just kind of getting away from this hunting thing. And I think to the good presenter of this amendment, where he says it's not specified, well, you know, but yet we know who it is. That's right, but we have done that before, and yes, we do that from time to time. I also, I guess, kind of had some question in my mind about the need for the reference to the Constitution and the governor's ability to do some of that, but I just encourage you to vote against this amendment. I would also share with you that so if you violated law, and particularly in this area, if you violated a fish and game, have a violation of taking game, your chances of being able to hunt again for a number of years is greatly diminished. I can almost assure you that through the legal process we have in place that your hunting privileges were going to be greatly reduced. So to have that language in there, I think, is unnecessary as well, and would encourage you to vote against it.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment, and I commend my colleague from District 31. I think he's come up with an elegant solution, which would obviate any challenge which might arise as the result of the passage of Senate File 3. So I urge your aye vote.
Representative Piperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. I know a lot of things that the representative that was speaking up at the front spoke on was Article 3, Section 27 about special and local laws prohibited. I think he hit the nail on the head on that one. I'd also like to draw your attention to the Constitution of the State of Wyoming, Article 1, Section 3, regarding equal political rights. If I may briefly cite some of this. Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstances or conditions whatsoever other, the individual incompetency and unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction. It refers that we shouldn't be making laws for particular genders, particular races, particular colors, or things like that. And I think this antelope license hunt is directly attributed to a woman's antelope hunt. Thank you.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I urge a no vote. If this is approved, the odds are it'll go to conference committee and then get killed there. So that shouldn't be the goal. We need to put this to bed and let the traditional hunt live. And the other hunt that I think is totally appropriate also to continue. So I urge your no vote.
Any other members? Oh, Representative Grew.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, I believe, as mentioned by a previous speaker, elegant solution. I think the elegant solution already exists. I think it exists in current statute and the rules of the department that oversees fish and game. I urge you to vote no on the amendment and yes on the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I'm not sure, quite frankly. I've looked at this. I've talked to the bringer, the good bringer, who is incredibly intelligent. And in my defense of not being able to find the statutory reference to rulemaking, there are over 100 pages in small print, and there's a lot of stuff in there. But here's what I bring to you. As far as set-asides, 80% of the antelope licenses are already set aside for residents. So that precedence exists, in my opinion. But that's not really the issue here. The issue is this amendment. I've looked at this. I've looked through the statutes. If this is necessary, then that would mean that a majority of these existing statutes are invalid. Because if we can't find rulemaking in there, then on what legal basis are those statutes enforceable? So I was under the impression that the commission already has rulemaking authority, and that if we pass this bill clean without this amendment, that they already have a process by which to do that. On another note, if you look at on the amendment section 2 and section 3, I don't know that that's necessary, and I'll tell you why. The current practice, for those of you that know, is that the Game and Fish Department goes out, and starting around Christmas time, and they fly, they look at the herds, they do population trends data analysis, how many calves per cows, how many bulls per hundred, how many fawns per doe, all those kinds of things. And by taking that data back, then they can compile and identify trends. Is the population increasing? Is it decreasing? What's the age class structure? All of those things. Then, based on that information, they make their recommendations. And then the next step in this process that apparently doesn't have any rulemaking authority, but they do it anyway, is that they go to the public, all over the state in all 23 counties, multiple times in each county, actually, depending on where the population is, and they present these suggestions to the public. The public weighs in on what the department recommendations are, then they fine-tune it, and in May, that's where the dates worry me a little bit, in May, the commission then establishes seasons and quotas based on all that biological data. And then the application process for licenses begins. That whole process goes forward. And at that time, like in June, typically, we're all notified of whether or not we drew a limited quota license. But before that, we know what the general season and quotas will be for deer and elk, and we can buy those over the counter. So I would just submit to you that I have reached out to the department and asked them to get an AG opinion, their AG, and find out if in fact, I'm not against this necessarily. I don't know that we need it. But if we need that rulemaking authority in here, then let's get it in there. But I would remind you that we have a third reading on Monday. If we blow it today, we can fix it on Monday. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other members for the first time? Moving to second time. Any members like to speak their second time? To the sponsor, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And so I want to address these concerns. I know we had one from the good representative from right here in the capital city, and one of them was talking about that they had to apply in person. That's actually existing language. That's not amended. They have to do that already. That's existing. If you look in your amendment, the pink thing, that's already, they have to do that. So we're not changing anything there. And that might be something that we can change in the future. Technology is updating, and I'm not opposed necessarily applying online or anything like that, but I'm just using existing framework when it comes to that. In regards to the issue of other set-asides, well, if you look at, in particular, Article 7, and this has to do with licenses, all right? So Article 7 is licenses, stamps, permits, and tags. And it talks about those set-asides for the commission. Well, there's a process already that exists for that. It talks about those for veterans, and I'll just it says here, it talks about in compliance with rule and regulations. So there's rule and regulation that applies for even those ones for disability. So it's in here in other places. As to the good chairman, he talked about, well, and we heard it again from some of the TRW committee members, that they already have this authority. Well, that's the thing I question, hence the amendment, because I've looked through these statutes. And I don't find it in Article 3, which is the general provisions of game and fish, what they can do, their authority. It's not in there. And I look through Title 23, Article 7 here. And let me just, I somehow I missed it. Let me go back there. On Article 3, Title or at 7, we actually did something last year where we talked about, we had a bill of personal identifiable information, and we said that the Game and Fish Commission will promulgate rules and regulations. This is what we're talking about here, so that personal identifiable information won't go out to the public. And so we specified it in that area. You look through the other articles, Title 23, Article 3, Article 4, and some of these other articles in there, and you will find that it deals to specific spots. And one of them says, promulgate rules and regulations for sections A through F of this section and May for another section or something like that. My point is this, is there is no authority in Title 7, and you can look at it in your own green statutes. I would challenge you, look it up. And there's nothing there. And so what we're doing is we're taking this one-shot hunt, which had 80 licenses, and now we're expanding it to two groups, which is fine. But de facto, what we're saying is, we're giving it to two groups. We already know who they are, and you know who they are because you're getting plenty of emails, to the exclusion of everybody else. So if a third group wants to come and they read the statutes plainly as you and I and say, you know what, we want a bite of this. We want some of these set-asides. The Game and Fish Commission, our good director of the department that deals with game and fish, has said in the interim committee, throughout the process, he said, we don't have a system set up for that right now. He said we would turn them away because we have it in our regulations, at least for the one shot, that that's who it goes to and nobody else. So is that special law, and going back to the special law versus general law argument, in Article 27 it says when general law can be made applicable. My question to you is, can we make general law applicable in this instance? And if we can, then why do special law? And so, again, I want to vote in favor for this legislation. I think with this amendment I can. It's not going to derail the bill as far as the Section 2 and Section 3. All that talks about is when this bill becomes effective. It says it becomes effective immediately right now so they can promulgate rules and regulations so that the program exists. And then it says the law is effective July 1st, just like any other general legislation, so that by this next hunting season, this is in place and everything goes on, life is normal. I don't want to derail the process. I just want to make it fair and just and make it general like we should. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I guess we can call the question.
Okay. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 3. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? More than 14. My apologies. My hearing. At this time, I'd like to recognize Chairman Greer.
The privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Early in the morning. Oh, sorry. Hey, in the VIP section, I'd like to recognize some hardworking and very dedicated citizens for the state of Wyoming, some folks who give up their time, work hard to envision and help us realize the visions for the future of Wyoming. And it's the governor's endowed executive and rural councils. If they would please rise and let's give them an applause.
Welcome to the House. We appreciate you being here today and appreciate all your work, all your volunteer time for the future of Wyoming. Senate File 3, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Medicine Lodge State Archaeological Site, an act relating to state parks and archaeological sites.
Senate File 5, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Real Estate Exemption Restoration, an act relating to workers' compensation and unemployment insurance.
Senate File 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Insurance, Corporate Governance, Annual Disclosure, an Act Relating to Insurance.
Senate File 7, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Insurance, Audited Annual Financial Reports, an Act Relating to Insurance.
Senate File 8, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Insurance Code Revisions, an Act Relating to Insurance.
We have amendments. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9 and ask for your favorable consideration. And I have to say, I'm not really sure. You know, you get around here for a few years and you start tackling all sorts of subjects that are perhaps not in your last week, I guess it was, I took on a transportation bill cleanup, and now I'm in this insurance thing. But yesterday, folks, we had a number of insurance bill cleanups, and, you know, granted, most of us are not that fascinated by the subject of insurance, so I found myself, you know, kind of picking up the bill and thinking, okay, what have we here? And by the time I looked at it, we'd all voted aye, and I was too slow out of my chair. So, folks, I'm bringing you this amendment just for your consideration, and we may need to clean it up later, but I hope you'll vote aye. Here's the thing. If you'll pull out the bill, you really need to look at the bill. This is not one of those things where I can just call it a technical cleanup or we're doing, water instead of land or something like that. So if you look on, again, Senate File 9 on page 2, remember, foreign insurer doesn't have anything to do with foreign languages. We're talking about out-of-state people. It says an out-of-state insurance company cannot come to this state unless, okay, in line 7, that's current language, unless they've been in business for 2 years, unless, or in other words, or, so at the end of line 7 you see, so you got either 2 years, or on the other hand, they're otherwise qualified, and they're either a subsidiary of a company. And then there's a part that you don't see because subsection 2 is not in the bill. They weren't amending it. Then there's an or. And then down at the bottom of the page, we see line 22, that the commissioner decides that, here's the confusion, because there's a lot of sort of double negatives in this. The commissioner can also authorize this company to come in if the commissioner decides that adequate provision is not made by insurers already authorized. In other words, you have to either have been working for 2 years, unless you're qualified and you're subsidiary, or the commissioner says, oh, we don't have enough insurance companies, so I guess I'll let you come in. Or turning the page on the top of page 3, adequate competition does not exist. And so as I was reading that, I thought, really? I mean, it's not like we have an excess of insurance companies in this state or anything like that. And certainly the current person in charge of this regulation is a very fine and capable and competent person. And I'm not in any way suggesting that the current incumbent would say, no, we have enough insurance companies, so I'll leave you out. But, you know, in statute, we have to plan for all eventualities in the future. So if you look at the amendment, and a lot of it is just conforming language, the essence of it is starting on page or line 5 of the amendment, I insert in back Romanet 2, and the only reason I do that is because there had been an or on the end of it. And I want to take the or off because what I really want to do is at the bottom of page 2, take out that whole section 3. They struck part of it already, the bit about buying insurance against earthquake, flood, and nuclear radiation, which was kind of funny. I mean, you know, it's amazing to find that you can be amused by insurance statutes. But so that's fine. Take that out. I think that's swell. And then take out the A and B, which had already been in statute following the earthquakes and natural nuclear whatnot. So my goal is to basically say that, okay, the regulator can either say, fine, you've been in business somewhere else for 2 years, or, again, looking on the top of page 2 of the bill, you're otherwise qualified. And just so you wonder what those qualifications are, so in you don't have this, but in 26.3, 103, and 104, the preceding sections, basically there are things like that the company has to maintain reserves, the company cannot be incompetent or untrustworthy, so lacking in insurance company managerial experience as to make the proposed operation hazardous to the public, that they have been involved with manipulation of assets, and then they have to get a credit and investigation report. So it seems to me that the qualifications are set very high, and I didn't really see why we would want to make some future regulator able to say, well, we have enough insurers already, so I won't give you a license. And I will say, I'm just being straight on this because it's kind of a policy decision. You know, this kind of came up yesterday, and it's not like I've internalized all the insurance statutes. I'm in the process of some back and forth with the department, and it very may well happen that tomorrow I may come back and say, well, he's convinced me. He's really got to have that part in there. And if that's the case, then I'll bring a third reading amendment and say, never mind. Representative Wilson didn't know what she was doing, and we'll take it back out again. But I just felt like because it had moved kind of quickly through the process that maybe we just needed to pull back a little bit on this and try to open, not put some sort of obstacle in the way. And so I just sort of threw out a rock in front of the cart rolling downhill on this second reading so that we could say, hey, hold up, let's see, maybe we need to think about this a little more. So I would be glad to answer questions. Otherwise, I would urge an aye vote.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Greer.
Thank you. We were discussing a concern. before we get to the concern, Mr. Speaker, I do have a question. And I just, on the amendment, on the inserted language, so looking at the amendment starting on line 8, we've got this. So we're talking about successor and interests, and I think it's just easier access into the state. I understand the first part. But where we talk about, or through bulk reinsurance of substantially all the insurance risk, reinsurance is a completely different animal. And so substantially all of the risk is, so if you assume $20 million worth of risk, the primary insurer may be picking up the first $250,000 of that risk, and then a reinsurance company will come in and pick up, you know, from the balance of it. And what you find is with most risk is that the bulk of the risk rests in the first dollars, the first $100,000, the first $250,000. And all you got to do is look at it is, you know, you set your deductibles at $250,000, your insurance drops significantly. And so I've just, that language gives me some pause of what we're trying to do and seems very mushy. And so with that, I'll just I need a little better explanation on that language.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer the former question, that's the current language in the statute right now. For statutory construction reasons, we're just bringing that in because of that or we're inserting when the good bringer of this amendment is taking out Romanet 3. So we can talk about that, but really for this amendment, that's just statutory construction to pull it in for that or to address the former concern. My concern in general, and the amendment I think is actually fine because we do have a process if an insurer wants to start in the state. This is a seasoning requirement, so if you have one of those companies that sweep in the country and they've just been around in another state for 6 months and they're trying to, you know, quickly multiply to carry a certain line of insurance. You know, in the old days, even though some of that language is kind of funny, we had very specific categories of what type of foreigns could come in under these seasoning provisions. We're taking all of those out, and what that really does is now open us up to health insurance. Really, it's not just property casualty anymore. So it's a, I guess I'd say it's a policy decision. I'm not sure it makes any huge difference. It does kind of rein the insurance commissioner in a little bit if we did have an insurance commissioner in the future that had some conflicts. I can maybe see, I can, the amendment's fine. I think it's protected in other places in the statute, actually, and it does just kind of rein back this in. So this time I'd probably ask you to vote in favor, and maybe we do need to come on third reading tomorrow and clean it up a little bit more. But really what this whole bill or this whole section was designed to do was open this up to affiliates. So a lot of these insurance companies, especially property casualty right now, are finding affiliates, and they want to immediately establish those outside of that two-year seasoning requirement. And that's really what it's designed to do. The rest was just to kind of prevent any kind of fly-by-night operations that some other state would have allowed to come in, and then they quickly multiply. And I don't foresee that actually happening. I don't think neither does our current insurance commissioner. So it's a perfectly acceptable amendment to the body if you'd like to support it.
Representative Stiff.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment with respect to deleting the provision regarding the insurance commissioner's ability to find that there's a lack of adequate competition in the market. We have both for medical malpractice insurance and legal malpractice insurance, there has historically been a dearth of providers. To the extent that this amendment prevents a company from coming in quickly, then that would be unfortunate. There was, for example, in the medical malpractice field, an insurance company from the Buckeye State that was here for many years but then pulled out. The result of that is that physicians, as well as lawyers, end up paying higher, more for their insurance premiums than they would if there were adequate competition. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The good representative that brought this amendment, I signed on, honestly, because it's a good catch. We have regulations and fraud regulations, and the insurance commissioner has the ability to do rules and regs in regards to companies that are bouncing outside the lines, these insurance companies. So that language, I agree with the good representative, and please vote aye on the amendment.
Any other members for the first time? Second time before the sponsor? Seeing none. To the sponsor, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the chairman of the committee, I think, did answer the question about the that line 7 through 10 in the amendment. It was just there to so I could delete the or, because previously there was an or elsewhere, and that was all we were doing on that one, that the bit about the reinsurance is current. Regarding the question about the commissioner's ability to bring in new ones, that was really what made me bring this amendment in the first place, is because if you look higher in the bill, it seems to me, and I'll admit there's a lot of double negatives, and unless this didn't happen and such like, but it looks to me like the commissioner issues a license if you've been in business 2 years, but the only way you can come in before you've practiced for 2 years is if you're either qualified or the insurance commissioner says we don't have adequate provision. And I mean, well, wait, I'm sorry, that you're qualified and. So I really think that this just needed to be wrestled with a little bit about whether we want, we don't do it for attorneys or physicians or coffee shops. We do it for liquor licenses, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that now. But why should we say you can only come in if we say there's not enough? So, anyway, I can tell by the kind of, we all have somewhat similar feeling about insurance, which is that it's maybe not very exciting. And I'm okay with that. I just wanted to bring this as a way to have a little bit better discussion about what kind of obstacles we do or don't put in the way of businesses seeking to come in. So I urge an aye. I will continue to work with folks on clarifying the language, if we need to it, but please vote aye.
Okay, we are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 9. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. Senate File 9, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, sponsored by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Financial Assurance, Class 1 and 5 UIC Wells, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 16, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18, sponsored by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Orphan Site Remediation Funding, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 18, having been read 2 separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20, sponsored by Judiciary. Custody in the Best Interest of the Children, an act relating to child custody.
Senate File 20, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 21.
Senate File 21, sponsored by Judiciary. Required reports and adoptions. An act relating to adoption.
Senate File 21, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, sponsored by Judiciary. Court Information Technology Equipment, an act relating to courts and counties.
Senate File 24, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, sponsored by Judiciary. Corrections Exception to Defense of Habitation Law, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
Senate File 25, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, sponsored by Revenue, Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, Collection Agencies, an act relating to collection agencies.
Senate File 26, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, sponsored by Revenue, Excise Tax Audits, an act relating to excise taxes.
Senate File 27, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Veterans Skilled Nursing Center, an act relating to veterans.
We have an amendment. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring House Second Reading Amendment to Senate File 31. This amendment states, during the 2018 interim, the Labor, Health, and Social Services Interim Committee and the Department of Health shall conduct a joint study examining the availability of personnel to staff a veteran skilled nursing center, the availability of nursing home beds in various locations of the state, and the potential demand by veterans for a skilled nursing center in various locations of the state. The Labor, Health, and Social Services Interim Committee shall present a report on its study to the Joint Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs Interim Committee by October 15, 2018. The reason for this amendment is that the bill, even as amended, seems to focus mainly on the building aspects of this project. And this amendment restores the issues that are related to the availability of personnel to staff the facility if built, and the locations. The locations is a very important issue to be discussed in regards to the number of personnel that are available to provide services in this facility. And I think that is neglected in the bill presently. I think the Labor, Health, Social Services Committee is best adapted to the issues that I brought up in the amendment. And for that reason, I request your support and am open to any questions that you may have. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I really do appreciate what the good bringer of this amendment is trying to do. And in some, I think one of the things that this bill is shy of is that it does not, on page 16 of the bill where it talks about as they go through the level one and level two studies, who they should report back to. They're reporting back to transportation, they're reporting back to appropriations, but they should also be reporting back to labor and health. And I think that that needs to be in there, and I think that that's a good third reading amendment, and would hope that we could do that. This amendment, as it's draft, is a little bit duplicative in what will be done in the Level 1 and Level 2 studies as they identify the need for the project, which is part of the Level 1. And it is also to include detailed analysis of the factors relevant to the development of that. Those are things that would include availability of personnel, the number of beds, and demand by veterans. The Department of Health is in the bill, is charged with doing this. I also think that it's in my mind, as I look at this, I don't think that this committee needs legislative direction to look at this issue. I wouldn't argue that it's maybe a good thing for them to do that, but I think that they can decide that with their chairman in their interim study issues. I don't think they need legislative action to direct that. And as the report comes back to them, they could further direct or ask more questions. And so I think that we could clean this up a little bit by just including that committee in the bill. And for that reason, I would suggest, I mean, I don't hate the amendment. I just don't think it's necessary.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So on page 16 of the bill, and this speaks to what the previous commenter was talking about, it talks about the reporting. But it says a limited level 1, 2, and 3 planning. And so I guess this is after the report has been done. And so I think what the bringer of the amendment is asking for is participation and influence or providing information into the process of the level 1, level 2. And maybe I'm incorrect, but so I guess I'd ask that to be responded to on a second time by the good appropriations member. But I think that's what's different is we're talking about actually being part of the process of advising this study, not receiving a report. We all get reports, folks. We get them, we shelve them, or do other things with them. We're talking about actually influencing the potential outcome of the report. And I think that's what might be different with the bringer of the amendment. Now, it's fair to say that in our request to that council who oversees our interim work, we can put this in, but obviously that is their prerogative whether we are assigned such duties. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Any other members for their first time? Chairman Eklund.
Yeah, so I can address that part on the limited level study. That was changed in the amendment that the Appropriations Committee brought, and I think I'd rather that they spoke on that, but I think it's no longer a limited study.
Any other member for their first time? Seeing none, we're going to move to second time before the sponsor. Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I guess I would just respond back to good Chair of Labor and Health that I think that is authority already exists with that good committee to reach out to the department and say, you know, as you're doing this, we have concerns, and they have already have the authority. That department is already responsible to come before them, that they have the ability to do that now. Like I say, I don't hate the amendment. I just don't see the necessity of it. I think that they have the authority to do that now. So, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Second time. Representative to the sponsor, Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. I think that this amendment gives some direction to the Health and Labor and Social Services Committee as to how they would address these issues. And I think that's an important part of this bill, and I urge a vote aye on this amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 31. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Senate File 31, second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted.
Division being called. All those in favor of the amendment, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment was adopted 30-24. Senate File 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, sponsored by Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs. Military member spouse and children, resident tuition. An act relating to higher education and uniformed services members.
Senate File 33, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Purple Heart Day and State, an act relating to legal time and holidays.
Senate File 37, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Fire Protection Revolving Account, an act relating to the Fire Protection Revolving Account.
Senate File 44, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50, sponsored by Revenue, Collection of State Financial Obligations, an act relating to financial obligations owed to the state.
We have an amendment. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, let me move second reading number one to Senate File 50 first, and then I'll explain it. Okay. This will not be a controversial amendment. You might remember when we were going through this bill on the first reading, the chairman of Health and Labor from District 3 raised the question about what are the dates in here for. I think it was 1989 or something like that, and it made it look like we're going to be hiring a collection agency to collect bills back to 1989. And I called the appropriate department to find out a clarification on this. I thought I knew what it was after. But what happened when it was in 1988 when the legislature authorized that department to hire collection agencies to collect overdue debts, okay? And it made sense to put it in the very first time, but it's one of those things that as time goes on and you change the amendment or to change the statute a little bit, you should take those dates out after it's been established. And that was negligence on the part of the Joint Revenue Committee, and we should have had it out, but this will take it out now so we're not keying it to some date. So I urge your positive support of this.
Any member would like to speak for the first time? Seeing none. Second time? Seeing none. I think I heard the question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one, the Senate File 50. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, please say no. Senate File number 50, second reading amendment number one, has been adopted. Senate File 50, having been read two separate times, question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Small Water Projects, an act relating to water development.
Senate File 53, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources. Water Development Project Requirements, an act relating to water development.
Senate File 54, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Okay, we're going to move to committee announcements. I have a privilege of the floor. Representative Jennings.
Members of the 64th, and back in the VIP, all the way from Wichita, Kansas, sitting next to the lovely lady there that I introduced earlier in the session, is my son Joshua, if he'd stand, and my grandson Christopher, and the one he's holding is Nicholas.
Well, welcome to the house. It's great to have you here today. Any other privileges before? Okay, no privileges. We'll move to committee announcements. Committee announcements, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue, your committee number three will meet Monday, March 5, 2018. It's going to be in room 36. We have two bills queued, and one of them is Senate File 52, Workers' Compensation Rate Discount. One is Senate File 98, Severance Tax Exemption.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number one, Judiciary, will meet upon noon recess about 12:15 in Jonah Room L56. That's a different location for us, Jonah L56. To consider three Senate files, number 30, Notice of Hearing to Reopen an Estate Amendments, number 57, Board of Law Examiner's Appointment, Supreme Court Rules, and number 80, Engrossed, Vulnerable Adults.
Yeah, I have one committee announcement. Your committee number 12, Rules, will meet immediately upon noon recess in Jonah L54 to hear the following bills, Senate File 68 and Senate File 70 Engrossed Revisor's Bill. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number four, Education, will meet at 12:15 in House 38, where we'll consider two bills, Senate File 102, National Teaching Certification, and Senate File 117, Engrossed School Finance Amendments.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10 will meet at 12:21. Consider three bills, Senate File 75, Biological Products, Pharmacies, Senate File 83, Controlled Substance Prescription Tracking, Senate File 105, Engrossed, Drug Donation Program Act. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, the Joint Conference Committee, number one, will meet at 12:30 in L55. And ladies and gentlemen, so this is the conference committee, the first meeting. Typically, we just go through the differences, and we are unlikely to take any action other than perhaps on the identical bills. So it's just so everyone knows what transpires in that first meeting. In addition to that, and at the conclusion of that, the House Appropriations will continue its review of Senate File 100, 108, and 120, Senate File 121. And we will further continue with those on adjournment this evening as needed. And also, there are currently six re-referrals, and we will try to hit all of those re-referrals this evening so we can kick them back to you and you'll have them available on Monday.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number five, Agriculture, will meet 10 minutes upon noon recess
in H36, the usual room, to discuss Senate File 45 engrossed, State Fair Board 2, and Senate File 99 engrossed, State Fairgrounds horse racing events.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8 would like to add to the re-referrals that Senate File 34 to appropriations.
Senate File 34 has been re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations. Chairman of our courtesy committee, Chairman Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Everybody got this in their box today. When you go out to your car, grab your checkbook, go to the ATM, whatever you need to do, you owe $74, and make it out to the House Courtesy Fund. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chairman Blake. Any other announcements? Chairman Nicholas.
So, and in addition, just so we can know what's going to come partly on Monday, the House Committee Joint JAC will review Senate File 120 on adjournment. I think that's, and we'll also have, I think that's all.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, just one more announcement. The Endell Committee has lunch in L51 for us. So those who want to grab some lunch, you can do that. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard a motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries. House is in recess until 2 p.m.